Amen. I've broken a few of these things and I've stolen a few of these things on accident. So if I'm walking out the back and I still have it on, say, hey, come back here. I'll just think you're waving at me. Oh, they're so friendly, so nice. But don't let me take it, because it, like I said, it'll be on accident. I've returned them all, praise God. I don't have a collection of them under the seat out there. But my name is Zach Newsom. And my wife and three babies are in the back. My wife is Kelly, and we have a two-year-old son named Cullen, a one-year-old daughter named Amron, and then a four-month-old daughter named Bexley. And I have a nickname for my children. I'd already told the pastor, I call them weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And that's why they're in the back, praise God, and not out here. And I had a pastor one time tell me I need to nickname my wife Wars and Rumors of Wars. But I haven't been that bold yet. I can get away, pastor shaking his head, no. I can get away with the kids, but not the wife. But we are missionaries called to Newcastle, England. And before I get into that, I was listening to these prayer requests. And I just want to say, I am blessed. We are a blessed people. I woke up this morning. That's enough right there to be blessed. I walked to my vehicle. I turned on my vehicle and rode in the comforts of air conditioning. I got to see my wife. I got to hear my babies. And I was listening to all these people going through these problems. And I'm blessed. Oh God, help me never to forget how blessed that I am. And to be complacent. I pray all the time, Lord, help me not to get used to your blessings. So when we get used to it, we're in a dangerous place. I was an assistant pastor. Then God called me to pastor. And throughout this time, I had a burden. Even before I was assistant pastor, I had a burden for the mission field. And I had went down to Honduras when I was 17. And that really started the burden in my heart. But I had a pastor tell me, pick a people, pick a group of people on the map and pray for them. And I happened to pick the people of England. And I started praying for them. And through praying for them, my burden grew. And my heart grew for those people. Where I was assistant pastor at, the town has 1,200 people. I know, metropolis, wow. I remember when they put in the one stoplight. Do you know that God brought me an Englishman to my church? He married a girl out of my church. And I started talking to him. And the burden grew and grew. I became a pastor. Still didn't have the call. So I took on missionaries going to England. That's all I could do. Now I'd been to England before, but God opened up the door for me to go back to England in the summer of 2019 to take a survey trip and to go just for the sole purpose in God, is this what you're calling me to do? And so I got over there and I began to pray and I began to seek God. And that's when God called us to Newcastle, England. I still believe in a calling. I believe in having a calling. I believe the word of the Lord, God will show you what He wants you to do out of His word. I don't know about all these people that operate without callings. You can, if you have your Bibles, take them 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. We'll get there in a second. The preacher's wife asked me, do you have a reference? And I was thinking, did I need to bring my resume? Did I forget? And she said, no, scripture reference, the Bible. I said, oh, okay, I know what you're talking about now. That's the verse that the Lord called us to go to Newcastle with. And we'll get to that in just a minute. We got there. And we started the ministry. we're going to start a church in Newcastle. When we first get over there, there's a national pastor that has two works. One of them's about an hour away from Newcastle. The other one's 25 minutes. And we're going to help him until we can plant a church in Newcastle. Newcastle has over 300,000 people, and there's not one single church that preaches the gospel. You think about England. You think about the powerhouse that England was. You think about all the great names that have came out of England, all the great hymns that have came out of England, all of the literature that we possess that England has given us. And they came to a crossroads. They came to a point in time where they had to make a decision. And they were arrogant. And they thought that they no longer needed God. And they chose out of their own power to do what they wanted to do. And they kicked God out. And God's hand pulled off of England. My friends, America is at that same crossroads tonight. We are at the point in time where either we are going to make a decision to do what is right or what is easy. England chose wrong. Let us not follow in their footsteps. England chose to go their own way. They chose to have a state church, the Church of England, which is funded by the government. 40% of the vicars of the Church of England are atheists. It is a job. They get a nice vehicle. They get free housing. And we've asked them before why. And they said, because the only thing I have to do is a few times a week get up and open an old book and say a few words. And the people won't even know. They're hirelings. And England, the people of England, that's what they think that our religion is. It's the Church of England. We were in Durham handing out Bible tracts on a Thursday. The Church of England was organizing a gay parade for Saturday. We asked a vicar one time how to get to heaven. He said, well, how can you be sure? He said, if you work hard enough, and if you do enough good, then most likely when you get to have that moment in time where God decides, if you have enough good, you'll make it. I'm glad that it's not anything that I have done. It's nothing that you have done. But it all had to do with what He did on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins. I couldn't earn it. I can't keep it. It's all up to Him. And all these people over in England, that's what they equate to God. That's not my God. And so they have become angry and bitter. And they're hurt. Oh, that's the God you serve? I don't want anything to do with it. It's not the God I serve. The ones that have went to the Church of England, a lot of people profess Church of England, but very few practice it. Most of them have tried Church of England, and they realized it was reprobate, and there wasn't anything in it. It's all emptiness and vain. So they decided they were going to try Islam. The Muslims, they own the South. They're buying up churches faster than anybody can plant them, and they're taking those churches and turning them into mosques and bars and homes. The Muslims, praise God, they don't have a lot in the north. That's where we're going. Newcastle's in the northeast. Nobody likes the north. We landed in London, and they said, why are you here? What are you going to be doing? Where are you going? I said, we're going to Newcastle. I said, why in the world are you going to Newcastle? Ain't nothing up there. And I thought in my heart and my mind, yes, there is. There's souls that need to hear that somebody loves them and that somebody died for them. English people, they're hard. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You meet them on the street. You'll say, "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, I'm fine. How are you?" "I'm doing great. Can I give you this?" And they'll think it's a coupon. Praise the Lord, coupon. Amen. They'll take it, and then they were singing hymns on the side of the road. And while we were singing, we were passing out Bible tracts. I had this old man. He had to be up in his 90s. He had a cane. He was all hunched over like this. He walked up to us. He looked us in the eye. And he said, "If you don't stop singing about dying and going to heaven, if you don't stop singing about the blood, I'm going to get a gun and blow your head off." That man was under conviction. If he wasn't under conviction, he would have left and said, "Oh, look at those crazies. I'm going home." But God pricked his heart, and his pride puffed him up. That man might be in hell tonight. And you want to shake him and say, "Don't you realize?" But you can't. You just got to try and try. We've handed out tracts to people. I'm just telling you what it's like. It's not easy anywhere. It's hard everywhere. It's hard here. I understand that. But I'm just telling you what it's like. Hand out tracts to people. We have people, they were Satanists. You have Church of England, then you have Islam, then you have atheism, then you have Satanism. And the Satanist, he took the tract and he ate it. And he said, "This is what I think of your God. I'm going to eat him." And he put it in his mouth and he chewed it up and he ate the tract. It's craziness. But every now and then, you'll talk to somebody. They won't threaten you. And they won't get mad. But they'll look at you like it's the first time they've ever seen a drop of water. And it's the first time that they've ever tasted food. And they've never heard anything about Jesus. But when they start, they want to hear more. And more and more and more. And those are the people that I'm after. I want to see all of them saved. But if those are the only people that I can get, if I can get one person, it's all been worth it. England's not a glamorous place. You're not going to get... I say that, God can do whatever He wants to, but you don't hear many people getting 3,000 saved underneath a tree. It's not glamorous, but it's needed. Can I tell you what I believe is happening? Can I tell you that God answers prayer? God answers prayer for you. But God also answers prayer when you pray for others. Remember the Welsh revival? Lit that country up. You know what I think? I think that those men and women prayed prayers for their grandkids and great grandkids and great great grandkids and great 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 grandkids. That somebody would reach them in the future. That somebody would take the gospel back to England. That somebody would be willing to go. And I believe God heard those prayers. And He saw a little boy born in West Virginia, a little hillbilly. He said, "You know what? I'll call him to go." Can I tell you something? If God can use me. He can use anybody else in this whole room. I'm nothing special. I'm no different than you. I fail, I fall, I come short. I have problems just like anybody else does. So does the man of God. But if you're willing, God will use you. I find it hard to believe, preacher, out of 7 billion people in the world, that I'm the only one called to reach over 250,000 people. I believe God calls more people, but they never go. I believe God calls people, but they don't heed the calling. I have no sob stories to tell you. We're on deputation. We started January 2020. Hallelujah. January, February, and March, fantastic. March through September, absolute train wreck. Can I tell you? It didn't just affect missionaries. It affected everybody. It affected the whole, all the way across the spectrum. But can I tell you that God never failed me? God knew exactly what I needed. He knows what you need. I'm running out of time here. Let's look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. This is the verse that God called us to England, called us to go to Newcastle. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. I come down here. I hate being up there. I feel like that there's 100 miles in between us when I'm up there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what God used to call me, but that's not just a missionary verse. That's a saved verse. If you are under the sound of my voice and you are a Christian, you are an ambassador for Christ. What an honor. What a calling. An ambassador gets to represent a king to a foreign field. Wow. My goodness, that God would choose to let us represent Him to a lost and a dying world. What an honor. But also what a heaviness. That people outside of here watch us every single day. And that sometimes we're the only Bible that they'll ever see. Takes the name Christian to a whole nother level. We are ambassadors. I looked up, preacher, about an ambassador. An ambassador works out of an embassy. Do you know that? Probably did. What is an embassy, you say? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. An embassy is a little slice of where that ambassador is from. It's a little slice of that ambassador's home on that foreign soil. Whenever everything is going crazy outside of that embassy, the only thing that ambassador has to do is come back to that embassy and ring up their king. Say, King, I need some help. I need you to help me. I'm having problems. I'm struggling. I need you to come through. Can I tell you something, church? I'm a pilgrim passing through. This land is not my home. My home is in glory. My home is with the Savior in heaven. And I'm glad for the local church, a little slice of heaven, an embassy that we get to work out of this side of glory. Whenever everything outside of these four walls seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket, the only thing that we have to do is come back into this church, come back to the local church and get down on an old-fashioned altar and say, King of kings, Lord of lords, I need something from you today. I'm running on empty, God. I need some help, God. And you know what He'll do, church? He'll come through for you every single time. How do I know? Because he's done it for me. It might not always be what we want. But I promise you it'll be what you need. How can we be a successful ambassador? There's been some ambassadors that have been failures. Because they thought that the ruler of where they were stationed could take care of them more than the one who sent them. You know where our problems come in, church? When we stop looking this way and we start looking this way. You want to be a successful ambassador, a successful representative of God to a lost and a dying world. Forget about this and put your focus on this. And I promise, if you do this, you'll hear well done. Don't worry about this. This is all temporal. But this, that's what will last. That's what we get to get our rewards for at the feet of Jesus and cast them back. That's what's worth it all in the end. I have been called to England. I can't stay here. Y'all can go to England, but unless you're called, you can't stay there. You got to come back here. It's the only thing different. Everybody can go. Some of us are called to stay. I can't stay here, and you can't stay there. So how about this? You pray for me to reach England. And I'll pray for you to reach America. Could we do that? I think the Lord be pleased with that. Aren't we supposed to bear each other's burdens? Call me, call my name, call my family's name. Call weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth out of. That's the only thing you can remember. You can't remember my family's name. Just, oh, that crazy person that had the three kids with the crazy names. God knows who I am. I'll pray for that church in Seabrook. That we can reach for the gospel and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that what this all is about? Pretty sure it is. If not, we need to go ahead and go on home and be with the Lord. It'd be so much easier. Do you have any questions? I have 7 minutes. Anybody have any questions about England? What's it like on deputation with three kids, two and under? I'm sure you want to know that. I could spend the next 2 days telling you about that. Nobody?
What's your level of support?
11.10. It is, if I was going to say South America or somewhere in Africa, I would already be close to 40. But where I'm going to England and where it's a city, it's super expensive, so it takes more to go. Also, the dollar isn't as strong as the pound. Last time I checked, it was $1.43 to 1 pound. It gets all the way up to $2 per 1 pound. So what that means is 50% of our support when we transfer it over to British pound sterling goes down the drain. Yes, sir.
You talked about Islam buying up churches. So that means they're available.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is there a possibility that your work, when you get there, will you be working out of a house to begin with? And then later on, is there work there already that you can, you said you were working with a national.
The national, he works out of one hotel, and then the other one is a community center. And so most likely we'll be starting in a hotel. But there was a church for sale last month, and somebody bought it just like that. So it's out there. And we're asking God for a church building. Because if not, you have your allotted time, and then you have to leave. And if God shows up, you're like, oh, sorry, God. You can't have your way in the service because we have to be out of here by 2. We have to be out of here, by that certain time. So you want a building. But we'll be starting in a community center or a hotel until God gives us enough to have our own building. Good question. Yes, ma'am.
How long did you get up by today?
We started January 2020. We got about 6 months in 2020. And then we're getting ready to be in our 6 month here shortly. So we've been all together about a year, but we started a year and a half ago. Yes, ma'am, I put some back on the table. Please get them. Put them on your fridge. That's where all good Baptists go, amen. Anybody else? It's 4 or 5 pounds of for fuel per liter, not gallon.
Are you able to do any type of radio ministry in England, or what are the availabilities of that?
A radio ministry, I don't know of anyone who's ever done it. As far as all of the missionaries that I know of that are there. Now, I don't know why. I haven't asked them. But it might not be available. But that is a good question. I need to ask that. But right now they've been doing Zoom meetings because they've been in lockdown continually since the start of this thing. And just now they're trying to get to where they can do more things. Now, it has been eased up. They're trying to get back in July to normalcy. But of course they opened up all the pubs, you know, because that's a necessity. A house, house for us in Newcastle, be about 500,000 to 600,000 pounds. It's like $750,000 to $800,000. And it's not extravagant. You have a yard that's maybe half the size of this room, and it's right on top of, you have a house here and a house here. We're going for citizenship, dual citizenship, because that way they can't throw us out of the country. It takes 4 years of being there and $60,000. And while I'm there, I have to be sponsored in. And I have to write a letter to my sponsor every single week for 4 years telling them what I've been doing and where I've been going, and then he sends it to the government. And then after that, I can get my citizenship. So that's what we'll be doing so that we can't get kicked out. We'll have every right to be there as much as a citizen does. Anybody else before I turn it back over to the pastor? There are some places in England that have such a high concentration of Muslims, they're pushing the government to turn it over to Sharia law on English soil. Brother Colin Pavitt, the man that we're going over to help, he's had battery acid thrown on him. He's had two Muslims, one hold him down on the street while the other choked him. And so they're very violent, and they will come after you. And the Church of England will also come after you. If you start taking more people out of their church, they'll send spies into your church. And they'll come in under the guise saying that, hey, you know, I have little Susie. I had to leave her at home. She's sick. But can I sit in on your kids' ministry and just listen to what you teach so I can tell her how excited she's going to be? And they'll listen to what you teach, and then they'll go back and say it's hate crimes to the government. And they'll come in and shut you down because you're taking... This right here. It's all about that. Our whole religion is based on this. I'm glad ours isn't. It's not. No, there's very, very few people. I know maybe 10 in the whole country that would be considered what we are. Thank you so much. God bless you, preacher.